Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. We're about to break it down during your lunch break. This is Hockey Central at noon on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The trophy is going to be in the building tonight. Game two of this best of three of the 2016 World Cup of Hockey Championship Series. Canada against Europe. The Canadians trying to run the table in the 2016 event and claim their second straight World Cup title, going back to 2004. Welcome to Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard with Todd Alushko, silver medalist in 1994 Olympic Winter Games, and Doug McLean with us here as well. We're going to be joined by Team Europe defenseman and newest member of the New York Islanders, Dennis Seidenberg, who is also a former teammate of Todd's, which is really how we got him on the show, because it's a game day facing elimination, and Dennis is coming on the show
to chat about things. Because of that. He's like, well, you know, this is an important game. I go, it's just for 10 minutes. Okay.
And especially when he had already signed, would think. If he hadn't signed, he would have been anxious to come on game day or not.
You'd imagine. But awesome signing by New York.
And we've probably helped the process by pushing his name throughout the tournament, saying somebody should sign him.
But he's deserved it. He's played really well.
Good signing.
We'll also chat with Chris Johnston from the NHL and Sportsnet. He was at Austin Matthews' first practice as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday, in which Austin Matthews smashed glass.
Yeah.
You ever do that? A piece of plexiglass?
The only time I've ever done it was like playing beer league hockey. And then it's not cool then, because
it just wastes the
ice
time.
Yeah, then you're done, right? It sucks. And they're like, are you kidding me? And then you get off and your ice time's done.
True story. I was playing, I was watching a game. We were playing right after. Beer league, guy smashed glass. And instead of shoveling it up, guy came out with the Zamboni.
And he took the glass up.
Took the glass up.
That's not good.
Toasted the Zamboni.
No, of course.
Yeah. Didn't work out very well. Yeah. So smash glass. That's pretty cool way to make your debut. Matthews had the great quote, though. Lou's going to be mad.
I'd rather see him on his knees stick handling around people than breaking glass. So, you know, he's had a very exciting start.
The worst part about that whole stick handling on his knees stuff, you're seeing the beer leaguer guys try it all over the place. it's just then they can't do it.
I can't get down like that on my knees without skates on.
And then you have to get back up.
Hey, the reaction when he did smash that glass was pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
At first he was in shock, and then he puts his hands up like he scored an overtime winner. It was pretty cool. And then everyone's applauding in the background. That was pretty cool.
So our Maple Leaf Minutes coming up as we chat about Austin Matthews. Frederik Andersen was also on the ice, and the Leafs will play in Buffalo or against Buffalo tonight, and as well again tomorrow night. And we'll have that one on Friday night on Sportsnet.
Darren,
yes.
When's the last time you've had a Leaf exhibition game and there's been real, real excitement about seeing a couple of players play in preseason, when you've got, obviously, Nylander, who's a young kid. You got Marner, who's been terrific. I mean, Matthews. It's all of a sudden you're all of a sudden saying, hey, I kind of like to see this team play even an exhibition game.
Expecting Matthews to make his Leafs preseason debut tomorrow night and potentially Frederik Andersen on Sunday against Montreal, and we'll have that one for you on Sportsnet as well. The World Cup of Hockey could come to a close tonight. This is Team Canada trying to extend their winning streak going back to 2010. They weren't great. It was, I think by all accounts, their poorest performance in Game 1 against Europe, and Europe played very well. Carey Price was dominant. So do you expect a different Team Canada? Do you expect them to come out and just blow the doors off Europe tonight? Or is the result going to be similar to what we saw in Game 1?
Well, you know what? If you're Team Europe and you're...
Seidenberg's not on yet, so you can say whatever you want.
Okay, well, if Team Europe is formulating a game plan, I think they want to do the same thing they did in Game 1. And, you know, and if you're Team Canada, you want to get that first goal and you want to put the pedal down and just try to, you know, take away their will to compete right now. I think tonight it's going to be absolutely imperative that Team Europe gets that first goal tonight, or else I think you may see a steamroller effect go on, and Team Canada may just put the gas pedal down, and that may be all she wrote for Team Europe.
When you get to this point and you're the elite of the elite like Team Canada is, And there's a number of winners and a number of Stanley Cup winners. The pedal's going down tonight. And I think the other night they were a little casual in their game. There's no doubt about that. And I kind of expected that last game, that they would have their challenges. The team plays well defensively. Europe, they will again tonight. But I think you're going to see a team saying, come on, enough already. We want to end this tonight. We want to get to our NHL teams.
Yeah, and because it is.
And I hope the fans are into it. And Canada has to play a style that gets them into it. And like you said, yep, maybe getting the first goal is the key.
Canada is going to go with the exact same lineup as game one win over Team Europe.
And you know what? I think, Doug, the intensity is going to be elevated that much more because there finally is light at the end of the tunnel. Even though it is a short tournament, I mean, it's been jam-packed. These guys have played a lot of hockey. They want to get it over with. But I think the intensity is going to be there because they know that it's not game one. This can end it. And they can go and they don't want to prolong it anymore and play another game Saturday. And on the flip side, Team Europe wants to play Saturday. But I think that the intensity level will be amped up a notch because they know this could be it if they win tonight.
And trust me on this. They want to go. They've been living in a hotel. They want to go. They want to win it. Mm-hmm. They want to put it behind them and move on and get back. And because they're stars. They're key parts of the team. They want to get back with their group. And they want to get home.
There's also the potential for history to be made tonight. There's that handful of group of players and Coach Mike Babcock, who have won the two Olympic gold medals. They've all won Stanley Cups and now the chance to win a World Cup. It rounds out the resume for this group of players.
And what's it mean? Because every time we interview and talk to Scott Niedermeyer, what's always all over that interview?
Yeah.
His winning.
Yep.
His winning was
World Championships, World Junior Championships.
Everything, eh?
Olympics,
and
Stanley
now
Cups.
With the group we're talking about here, what is there, 10, 12 of them? 12 Stanley Cup
winners? Eight.
I think eight guys who have eight people who have done the Olympics,
right,
and now a World Cup.
Amazing.
Going back to 2010.
So talk about winners.
I know.
You know, so it is cool, and, you know, we know it's not the same as the Olympics, and it's been taught, but we know it's not the same as the Stanley Cup. It's still a championship.
And the unique thing about it is, like, who knows if this is going to be replicated again, right? Like, that is such a feat with what those guys have done. And who's to say that this can't happen again? It's been such a dominant era for Team Canada over the last, you know, 8 or 9 years. Who's to say that that's going to change, or the new guys coming up, the chances of being able to replicate something like this again probably won't happen. So this is a really special night for these guys.
So we talked yesterday a lot about, you know, Russia with Mike Keenan and how bad they've been in the last 10 years. And then I sort of hear that now Kuznetsov and Ovi are going to the Olympics no matter what. Mm-hmm. They want to do it. And yeah, it's funny that they're the group that are the most outspoken about it of anybody. The ones that haven't done anything for 10 years in these types of tournaments. So that'll be interesting to watch as time moves on. I mean, who doesn't want to go to the Olympics as a player or as a coach?
I think you're right. It's just the business side.
Logistics. And Gary Bettman told us exactly what the situation was.
Sidney Crosby is being hailed as being back on his game. But Zdeno Chara, a couple of guys are saying he might, in their eyes, might be playing the best hockey of his career at 29. Where do you think that level is?
29 is young as an NHL defenseman. Very young. You're hitting your prime. But when you're 6 foot nine.
No. Crosby's playing.
No.
Chara's saying Crosby's
30 plus.
Yeah, but Chara's saying Crosby might be playing the best hockey of his career.
Yeah, and I don't know that I saw Crosby play any better than I did in a couple of series last year. The last two series in particular, where 3 or 4 game-winning goals. Even if he didn't score, he was by far the best player on the ice. Typified it the other night by setting up Bergeron to end the game. I mean, yeah, he is. Chair, on the other hand, Boston are nervous. They're nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the one thing about Sidney Crosby when you're looking at him right now is, okay, 29, you know, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago when I was still playing, that is old. You're looking at maybe that's the end of the line. You have another year, maybe two in the NHL. But we talked about it off air, Mac. These guys are in unbelievable shape. And he's healthy.
Especially this guy.
Yeah, he's past his concussion stuff, which was all in the past now. He's healthy, he's in shape, and he's motivated. That is a scary combination for a guy that has that type of skill set. And honestly, this is a guy that can probably play another 8 to 10 years. And imagine what his numbers are going to be like if he does stay healthy. And he's a motivated guy every single day. He's the last guy off the ice in practice. It's crazy.
Here's Dennis Seidenberg is on with us, along with Darren Millard, Todd Telushko, who I believe you know, and Doug McClain. We're just chatting about at Sidney Crosby. And you've played him for as much as anybody. Where do you think his game is at relevant to his career? Dennis?
Yep.
Where do you think Sidney's game is when you compare it to years past?
Well, he's just really dominant out there. He sees the ice unbelievably well. He uses his the guys on the line with exceptionally well. He just knows where they are, and Marchand and Bergie just fit really well on his line. So they're very dangerous every time they're on the ice. And I think over the years he's matured and has become even smarter.
Is it true that Todd Telushko was your mentor when you turned pro?
Do you remember him?
Well, at some point he actually was. Yeah, I was 18 when I played with him in Germany for a couple of years, and he took me everywhere and took care of me. So he actually was. Yeah.
What do you mean by took you places? That makes me as a former coach that would make me nervous in Germany. Well, Oktoberfest or what?
That was Dennis's job. took us to Oktoberfest. Mind you, he was too young to drink back then. But
well, it's a drinking age in Germany is 16.
Oh yeah, so I forgot about that.
12.
Yeah. You couldn't drive. That was it.
Dennis,
that was it.
Congratulations on the new contract. I think it's obviously a great move. Challenging for you as a veteran who has won at the NHL level to come in and really whether it was on your mind or not, you were playing to try to get an NHL contract. And obviously the success of Team Europe and the way you've played has been a real plus for you.
Yeah, I mean, the whole summer was kind of a little awkward, not knowing where to go, just hanging around trying to look for somewhere to sign. But I think the tournament definitely helped, like you said, and playing with those guys who are a fun bunch of guys and getting to know all those guys and being successful definitely is a great experience. And I'm glad I finally found a place to go, and I'm really looking forward to get going.
Dennis, you just came back from pregame skate. What's the mindset tonight? What's the game plan? What's the belief that this Team Europe can take this to a game 3 against Team Canada?
Well, I think we have to look at the small picture. We can't really look too far ahead or what happened in the last game. I mean, we can't take positives out of it, which were that we hung in there quite a bit. We had good chances. We just couldn't convert on our chances, but they did on theirs. So we just try to focus on our game like we have been in the past and go from there. So there's not much to it.
Team Europe defenseman Dennis Seidenberg with us on Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Todd Telushko, and Doug McClain. Take me back to the start of the tournament, the pre-tournament games, and this contract negotiation that's taking place. What was the level of interest then, and when did it really pick up? Because you've had a really good tournament.
Well, at the beginning of the tournament, there was always like 2-3 teams hanging around, calling in, and then once we got going, I think at some point there were 7, 6, 7, 8 teams calling. So the interest definitely picked up throughout the tournament, but the negotiations didn't really start till a couple of days ago. I mean, the Islanders came in and made an offer. The other teams all wanted to wait and wait till after the tournament. And I was just kind of had enough, and I just wanted the place to go and decided to go to New York Islanders. So
what did JP Barry, your agent, say to you after those first two pre-tournament games against North America?
Well, let's get out of here.
Let's sign now.
Well, I didn't play one of them, so yeah. That helped, I guess. I got rested a little bit because we did play a qualifier, but the second one, I mean, we didn't really talk too much about the game. It was all about the tournament and us getting ready for it. But there wasn't really much talk going on about those games. But, I mean, those guys are pretty good.
You spent a lot of time with Chara. There's nobody in the league that, you know, as a former coach and manager that, I mean, I just have unbelievable respect for the way he's carried himself, the way he's played the game, the way he's been a captain, everything he's done. What do you see, because you know him better than anybody, from being a partner with him to being with him in the dress. What do you think he's got left in the tank as we move along here? He's got some miles on him, but he's still such a character guy.
No, he's got a lot left. I mean, his motivation is so big every day. He just wants to prove everybody wrong that he's in unbelievable shape like he has been in the past. And like you said, once he's on the ice, he's still very dominant. His reach is unbelievable long. And I think just having the privilege playing with him over the last few years just showed me how to carry yourself and how to be a leader and just bring it every game. And he does that. And he definitely does have a few more years left.
Yeah. Hey, Dennis, back to the World Cup real quick. I know that having the family around is pretty cool. And guys, Dennis has got three beautiful children, Story, Noah, and Breaker. How cool has it been for these guys? And I think especially we were talking, you're saying Breaker loves to be around in the dress room and try to get her trading card signed. How has that been for them? They must just be jacked with this.
Well, they got to come to a couple of games early in the tournament and actually just got back yesterday. And like you said, my little one, he loves suddenly started loving his trading cards and carries them around sleeping with him and just looking at him, knowing all the teams, all the guys. So it's a great experience for him. The girls, I mean, they enjoy going there, but they're not quite into it as much. But for a little boy, it's something special.
But tell us the truth. He says, Dad, can you get me in Team Canada's room?
I mean, he definitely loves Marshy, so... Marshy always plays with him and he absolutely loves him, but he actually would say that, yes.
Does he spear him or anything or slash him?
No, that's not the kind of guy he's off the ice, only on the ice.
Well, that attitude's going to change the first time that you face the Boston Bruins exactly. This year and Brad Marchand. Great success in this tournament for you individually and as a team, and congratulations on the deal with the New York Islanders. We look forward to watching you this season, but maybe two games left in this World Cup. Thanks for joining us on a game day.
Good luck.
So really
Thanks,
appreciate
Dennis.
It. Good luck, bud.
Thanks for having me.
There's Dennis Seidenberg.
Great story, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's your buddy, and yep. you can talk about it, but that good a veteran, that good a career, and he has to come in and fight. You know, he knew he was going to probably get a job, but I think it's a great signing by Garcinoe. Yeah. I really do. I think
dollars,
with his group.
And then you throw in his buyout, so roughly $2.5 million.
Well, I think it's a good move by
how
them.
How do you know him?
Well, we played together in Germany for when he was 17 years old, right? Played Mannheim, called the Mannheim Adler. And and we grew up together, and it was awesome because he would come over, my wife would make meals for him and stuff. And he showed us around as much as we took him in. But the one thing, Mac, I was going to say about Dennis, okay, he's 35. Everyone gets to that point of the career where, you know, it's kind of like, okay, am I going to extend it? What's going to go happen? The one thing that what the Islanders are getting with this kid is he's low maintenance. He's in phenomenal shape. I mean, and you know, when you get to that age, if you don't take care of your body anymore, that can shorten your career. Dennis is one of the most fit guys I've ever met, and he'll take a week off at the end of the year, and he's right back in the gym. He's a crazy fitness gym rat. And if I'm a GM or a coach and I know that that's in his DNA, it doesn't worry me as much as his age being at 35 because he's in phenomenal shape.
New York Islanders trying to take that next step beyond just winning a series, which they did last year, ended a long drought in the Stanley Cup playoffs by getting past the Florida Panthers, but trying to lean on Dennis Seidenberg a little bit. Maple Leaf Minutes. We have Austin Matthews taking part in his first practice with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Third line center is where he's going to be slotted in this year. How long does he stay in that role, Doug? He was a winger at the World Cup.
Yeah, and was, you know, which was really was good for him. And you know, it's happened over the history of the game that great centers lots of time play the wing, less responsibility, and he's smart enough and he's got a great enough vision and skill that he can do that easily. You know what, I see him, I think they'll be patient with him. I think Lou Lamoriello's history with kids has always been ultra, ultra you know, patient. And I think he and Babcock will be with him. But he's going to push him because this guy will be top six. He'll be top six before Christmas for me.
Well, yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see who's going to be playing with who. I mean, I think that they're going to bring him in gently, but I think that his skill set and what he's going to bring to this team, it's not going to take very long before they're saying, listen, we're going to graduate this guy to the first line or at least the second line. But it's going to be interesting. Like right now, you're looking at JVR maybe playing with Kadri and Komarov and, you know, William Nylander maybe with Bozak and I'd say Milan Mihalik. I'm not too sure how it's going to play out, but what I do know is Austin Matthews is that good that he will not be down. It's going to kind of be like the World Cup. Start as a 13th forward. Next thing you know, he's playing on the top line. I think that's what's going to happen with him.
Has his World Cup performance changed how you think he'll impact and how much better he'll make the Toronto Maple Leafs this year?
Not really. I think what jumped out at me is when we had Mark Crawford on, talking about him in the spring, about, you know, the Kopitar comparison, the Taves comparison, you know, in that group. And Mark, with his history in the National Hockey League and experience in the National Hockey League, saying about a kid, that's when I started to change that, okay, because we hadn't seen him live, obviously. So that sort of jumped. And then the way he played in team on the wing, as you said, was impressive. That's why he's first overall pick, and he's had this history that he's going to be a star. So it'll be fun how they handle him. But Todd was reading the lines there, and I talked to an NHL coach last week for quite a while, and in their conference, and said to me, "I'm nervous a little bit about the Leafs." You know, we talked about some teams in the East, and you know who's going to challenge. And he said, "Doug, I'm serious. I'm a little nervous. The Leafs, with the way they compete and how hard they played last year, and with the added
context, are you talking nervous on a night by night basis playing them, or nervous that they might jump up and challenge for a playoff spot?
All any coach ever talks about when they say about nervous, it's about who the eight teams are going to be that gets in. Mm. And, you know, this coach, who's got a better feel for the Leafs than I do, thinks they're going to challenge.
I'm curious to see how Austin Matthews' presence is going to impact positively or negatively the likes of Nazem Kadri, Tyler Bozak in that battle for ice time down the middle.
Well, I think you've kind of already seen it. I mean, it was kind of funny. I was listening to Nazem Kadri do a couple of interviews and stuff, and he kept on referring to Austin Matthews as, you know, telling him how the market is and what's going on, and, you know, you can't listen to it and stuff like that. I don't think that's going to be an issue for Austin Matthews whatsoever. I mean, Nazem Kadri was a lightning rod for a bunch of reasons, and they were all over him. I think Nazem Kadri's game was unbelievable last year. I think it's going to continue to get there. But I think that Austin Matthews' performance in the World Cup verifies how good he is and reaffirms how good of a player he's going to be. And by all means, it's going to resonate with everyone.
If he gets more minutes, that's coming out of Bozak and Kadri. Yeah,
I can see. Sure.
Unless he moves to the wing.
Exactly. And that's what may happen. I mean, I think Nazem Kadri, you put Austin Matthews with Nazem Kadri, I think it's going to elevate both players' games because they both have a very, very unique skill set.
You know, what I'm really anxious to see is some of the greatest players in the game, and I mean greatest players in the game who are in this era, who we've watched here for the last 10 days, stepped into the NHL, Taves, Tavares, Crosby, Getzlaf to a degree, spent time in the American League. But a lot of those guys come in and were impact guys right off the bat. They never missed a beat. Mm-hmm. Think about Taves stepping into the Blackhawks.
In front of 3,000 people.
And never missed a beat. You know, now the pressure in Toronto is going to be extreme. Like he said, I chuckled when Matthew said, "Hey, only in Toronto would you break a pane of glass and be national news." You know, it's different.
You know, the one thing, too, that's interesting is because Austin Matthews has taken so much of the attention. It's going to be interesting, the guys like Connor Brown, the Josh Levos, the Brendan Leipzig, to see where these guys fit in as well. Because if those guys can step in, or a couple of them can step in with the likes of Austin Matthews and pick up where they left off last year, I agree with Doug. This could be a scary team. Well, not scary, but a very well-improved team.
I don't have them in the playoffs, but...
Well, if they make the same point by drive up that Buffalo did last year, right, they're in a playoff.
So I don't have them in right now, but I'll tell you what, it's changing by the day. You know, just watching some exhibition clips and the conversation and talk, and as I said, talking to an NHL coach who plays them a lot, who's in there
And Zaitsev, like Nikita Zaitsev, he's going to be a big part. We'll see what happens with
people
him.
People in Edmonton right now are saying, hold on. Like,
oh, yeah.
We've been talking about been making that this. Jump up yep. You're right. Every year for years.
But not only that, it's so tough to make it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, and I've you know, I talk to coaches a lot, and every one of them, whether it's Lindy Ruff or Trotsky or any coach in the NHL or any general manager you talk to, they're all scared to death about missing.
Pittsburgh with a shutout yesterday over Chicago. Tristan Jarry with the shutout there in preseason play. And the Canucks with that new top line, or the Oilers with that new top line, falling to the Vancouver Canucks. And you had the likes of Connor McDavid with his new line mate in Milan Lucic. And Eberle was the other guy on that line, right? Jordan Eberle. But they lost. Doug, talk to me about this kid playing for Edmonton from North Dakota.
Yeah, Drake Kajula is really an interesting kid who came from just outside Toronto, Stouffville, I believe, yeah. Jeff Merrick's hometown. Challenged to get a Division I deal, goes to North Dakota and has become an absolute star there and a winner. And, you know, you look at the guys, Dave Haxel, who had such a winning tradition at North Dakota, Dean Blaze, who was there before. I mean, it's always been a winner. This kid went there. And, I mean, his career has taken off. I'm telling you, there was 20-plus teams wanted to sign this kid last year. And he went to Edmonton, and he was not leaving Edmonton. He had every, like I said, just about every team in the league pursuing him. And he wanted to be in a hockey market. He saw the opportunity, like sitting there saying, hey, maybe, just maybe, I get a chance to play with McDavid, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Draisaitl. If you're a kid coming into the NHL and you're a winger and you've got a chance to grow with that group, I can. And this is great for Edmonton. So I'm excited. I mean, he scores 2 goals last night. I haven't seen him live, but I've seen him on TV. And Connor McDavid's, this guy's got a heck of a chance to be a player.
Connor McDavid's first preseason game, all the fuss is about him. And it's Drake Kajula.
Yeah,
who scores, which is kind of fun in that loss.
I hope we're pronouncing the name right. I mean, I know you're counting on me on this.
Yes.
I got a funny feeling that Clark McLean in Chicago will send a correction.
Yes. We'll find out. I'm sure somebody will point it out in just a minute. Chris Johnson, the NHL on Sportsnet. More on what happened yesterday with Auston Matthews, as well as Team Canada. He's been part of this from the get-go following this tournament. Will it end tonight? We'll get Chris Johnson's take on Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the NHL Network, and Sportsnet.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Game 2 of the World Cup of Hockey Championship Final goes tonight. Team Canada trying to claim their second straight World Cup title as they have a one-game-to-none lead over Team Europe in this best-of-three. Darren Millard with Todd Lushko and Doug McLean, pleased to bring on Chris Johnson, the NHL on Sportsnet. Now, normally, Chris, NHL training camps are they're a bit of a drag once you get past that initial excitement of being back in the rink. But with the World Cup going on and the nearing end, the end of this tournament, Auston Matthews' sight yesterday being on the ice was something a little different.
It was. It was. I mean, it's such a weird year. I wasn't covering the NHL like I am now in 2004. So, you know, I guess that was different too because they had the lockout coming. But having, you know, all these guys, you know, been playing some meaningful games, kind of in front and center and around the media with the World Cup, and then now training camps are almost an afterthought. But, you know, obviously for Auston Matthews, he's up even the expectations, I think, from where they would have been just by how well he played for Team North America. So now that, you know, he's at Leafs camp and, you know, kind of going to play here in the coming days, his first game in a Maple Leaf sweater, you know, some of the excitement is going there.
Chris Johnson, we're watching as a hockey reporter. He's got the beard going now. He's, you know, he's one of the top insiders. He's the Leafs have gone to another level, so has Chris gone to another level.
He looks good with that beard.
So tell us, you're one of the boys now. Are they going to make the playoffs?
I don't think they will, Doug. Certainly it's going to be, it's not a stretch to say, it's going to be more entertaining than last season. There's going to be more reason to watch, but I just think that it's too big of a jump to anticipate. I mean, I guess if everything falls into place perfectly, but we know in pro sports that rarely happens, there's a chance of it. I do think, you know, once you get beyond the top teams in this league, there is a mushy middle, and you know, there's a chance there to make some gains on teams, but you know, they're coming from a long way back in the pack. So I guess if Frederik Andersen is the kind of goalie they think he's going to be, if Austin Matthews, I mean, the one thing I think that really stands out about Austin is that he's already a man, even though he's only just turned 19, that he's very physically mature. And I think you can kind of deduce, even by the fact he's played Europe Pro Hockey, that he's going to be able to make more of an impact than you might expect for a player, you know, playing his first NHL season. But, you know, there's still a long way to go for this franchise, and I think it'll be a positive step, but ultimately not one that ends up with playoff dates at the ACC next spring.
Chris, I know a lot of the attention, most of the attention is going to be on Austin Matthews, but and it's early into camp, but is there anybody else out there right now, the guys that maybe the Connor Browns, the Josh Levos, these types of guys that are making an imprint right now that may also find themselves on this team come day one?
Well, Mitch Marner is probably the name that jumps most to mind, you know, in part because the Leafs are going to have an interesting decision at some point with him about whether, you know, they want him to go back to junior hockey for another season after he's absolutely dominated at that level the last 2 years he's played. And also because physically he's not in any way like Austin Matthews, that he's still a small guy that you know, there could be some challenges there. But, you know, just the level of skill he has is, you know, enough to make him look like an NHL player. So I think, you know, he stood out from the first preseason game that they played in Halifax. I know that Mike Babcock was encouraged with the way he played there, that he'd been monitoring from afar. And you know, I do think he'll probably be the player that, you know, once you get beyond the Matthews headlines, will be generating the most discussion, because it's not a slam dunk that he'll spend a year in the NHL, but, you know, I think he's certainly going to, you know, start the year with the Leafs, and we'll see how he can handle, I guess, the game at this level, you know, playing against men.
Have you written your story for tonight, game two, the result, and Team Canada's performance against Team Europe?
I'm never good at working ahead there, and even back to my days in school, I needed the deadline. So, no, I haven't written it ahead, but, you know, I certainly expect Canada to wrap it up tonight, but you never know. Maybe we'll get a surprise in a game three on Saturday.
Just want to go back to Marner for a minute, because, you know, you've watched him probably not as much as you'd like to so far because of your other duties, but this is a really interesting one. The patience that Lou Lamoriello has always showed with kids, the history of Babcock in Detroit with kids staying in Grand Rapids. This is a tough one because of the way he's tore up the OHL and major junior hockey. This is a really tough decision for them to make vis-a-vis a development situation.
It almost feels like a no-win in some ways, because you know, you know that they'd love to play him in the American Hockey League or do some sort of split between the NHL and the AHL, I think, at this point, if they had that option. But because it doesn't exist, and we've seen this with a few other players where this sort of quandary comes up. I mean, I really think that unless something jumps out to them that makes it suggest that they don't think he can handle this, I don't think he's going back to junior. I really don't. Because he didn't just tear it up last year. He tore it up 2 years ago in his draft year. But, right, you know, as a pretty young kid. And you know, it's not to say that there isn't something that he can be learned still there, but, it, you know, it could be kind of a delayed year of progression. And, you know, there's some debate in hockey circles about what's best in these situations, and I really do feel it's a tough situation for the Leafs. But, you know, I think that they're going to give him the chance to play some games. He probably won't play every night. They'll try to kind of manage his workload. And, you know, as long as he doesn't show any steep decline, you know, maybe he gets to play at the World Junior Tournament for Team Canada. But, you know, I do think they're going to give him a go as a pro just because of how well he's done the last 2 years and the skills he has.
Was anybody scooping up the pieces of glass yesterday and trying to peddle them as Austin Matthews' game used to smash glass?
They should have been. That's a missed marketing opportunity. I mean, they're selling some of the melted ice from the World Cup. I mean, why not Matthews' smash glass? Although I think what's funny about that, to be honest, it's not actually smash the glass. First of all, he made a little joke by saying Lou's not going to be too happy with him.
Right.
So I thought, you know, the first day of work and he's already referencing the boss on a first name basis.
First name basis.
Pretty good sign. But then even today I saw that he had a comment that only in Toronto could smash glass make some headlines, and I thought good for the kid for realizing that some of this borders on the bizarre, I guess.
Yep.
Chris, back to the World Cup for a quick second. I mean, you and I, we've had an opportunity to sit up in the broadcast booth and watch, especially watch game one of this final. And we both were sitting there, we're like, man, the atmosphere doesn't seem to be what it should be for a final in the World Cup. Now that there's a chance that Canada can hoist that trophy tonight, do you think the electricity, the energy will be a little bit more than what we saw in game one?
I can't imagine it's going to get worse. I mean, certainly you would expect. There's going to be some expectancy that people are going to come to the arena tonight and, you know, see Canada finish us off in another perfect run. I mean, there has to be a little bit more, but, you know, I think we also have to be realistic about, you know, when you hold a tournament like this, essentially for the first time. I know there's been World Cups in the past, but really this isn't that connected to them. This is a new venture in a lot of ways. I mean, it's not going to have everything you want right away. I think it takes time to build things up. And you know, the fan support has been good here. The attendance has been good. TV numbers have been good. But, you know, it's still not the Olympics. It doesn't have that same appeal. And, you know, through no fault of their own, I think playing Team Europe takes some of the sizzle out as well. If this final was against Russia or if Team North America had got through, you know, I think we'd be talking about something different entirely. But you're right. It wasn't what you'd hope for. But, you know, I think all in all, the tournament has been pretty good. The players have enjoyed it. And, you know, I expect that tonight will be a little bit more energy at the ACC.
Well, you think you get a couple of days off after the conclusion of this World Cup, but you go right back into Leaf mode tomorrow night, don't you?
Yeah, that's all right, though. I don't mind. I mean, this beats working for a living, you know.
We're all grinders, right? Here. We're all grinders here at Sportsnet, Chris. We paid our dues, and we're grinding.
Exactly. Well, if we don't do it, someone else will do it, Doug.
Hey, what do you think of the new threads that the Leafs are modeling?
I like them. I think they're good. I mean, I haven't seen too many around the city just yet, but I imagine at some point here, once
they'll sell
the Matthews ones, because they're not actually officially in stores just yet, but I bet you'll be seeing a lot of those around Toronto.
Good to see the stripe in the pants.
Oh,
back.
I love it. Hey, Chris, real quick. I mean, lost in all the Austin Matthews and the Mitch Marner. What does Matt Martin look like out there? Have you had a chance to talk to him?
I didn't talk to him yesterday. It was the only day I've been down at Leafs camp. But, you know, clearly to sign him to a four-year contract, I mean, the Leafs are trying to insulate some of these younger guys, you know, with this locker room, with some veteran players. I mean, they traded for Brooks Lake last year at the trade deadline. And, you know, they're looking for some of these positive influences, I guess is the best way to put it. And, you know, Matt comes very well respected. You know, I've spoken with John Tavares about him. And I know that John is a big fan of Matt, a longtime teammate on Long Island. You know, I think that he will have a positive impression yet, but with kind of being split between the World Cup and the Leafs, I haven't fully investigated that angle yet, Todd.
You think back to the July 1st signing day, and that was a quiet one, but talking to some hockey scouts, they thought it was one of the more impactful signings. So it'll be fun to see.
It will be, and you know, he was a guy the Leafs really targeted. I mean, it was. You know, I think that they identified this as a need. Obviously, he brings the ability to play some physical play, but I really do think it's about having guys that do it the right way around the Leafs. That's a, you know, a real point of emphasis for this organization right now. And you know, you don't find too many people out there with a bad word to say about Matt Martin. So, yeah. You know, I think you're right. It could be one that flies under the radar because it's not a big name and it wasn't a huge money deal. But you know, could have. You know, some positive repercussions on the locker room.
I can't wait for Grapes to say, "I told you so. I told you so." It's coming. It's coming. Grapes, get it on tape.
Fun few days for you. World Cup potentially ending tonight, and then you've got we expect Austin Matthews' preseason debut tomorrow. So we'll look for that and watch for your stuff on Sportsnet.ca. Hey,
and real quick, Chris, make sure that you hide that $20 gift coupon for the concession, because Stalick knows this could be the last night. He may come after you and he may grab that from
Gord or Bob.
Gord.
Oh, Gord. Okay.
Gord has had a few trips to the snack bar.
He's loved it.
But he's one of those
herbal magic guys.
Yeah.
He's a tweener right now. He's in between.
He looks great.
Thanks, Chris.
You like him overweight?
You. There you go. Chris Johnson from the NHL on Sportsnet. You had a pronunciation correction.
Oh, help me here.
No, you got it.
Yes, and I really okay. Let me find my Twitter account here. Sorry,
you said Drake Cajula.
Mike Pop sent this. It's Cajula from Pickering.
So not Julia.
Cajula.
Cajula.
Cajula. And he played in Pickering. He played in Stouffville, but he's from Pickering. So I want to thank Mike Pop for that info.
All right,
we wanted things right here.
We knew
you
somebody,
got it
but
right.
This news release just handed to me. Thank you, Matt Brown. You could have done this. You realize you could do this.
He doesn't want to. He wants you to do it.
Fabro wants.
I only do the hard hitting news.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you want to take care of this?
No, no,
this
no,
release?
It's you. It's all you.
What's with Fabro? He's on the air more than
the World
anybody.
Cup of Hockey. News release: the Scotiabank World Cup of Hockey viewing party at Maple Leaf Square for tonight's game two, the best of three World Cup hockey final between Team Canada and Team Europe, has been canceled.
Yeah,
because of inclement weather.
Well, it is. It's ugly out there, so we'll see.
And the fact that 20 people showed up the other night probably had something to do with it too.
It's inclement weather. It's going to be busy downtown again.
But you heard me the other day. I was going to go to it, and I was excited about heading to the Distillery District for the first time because I wanted to see it.
And it was closed.
And it was moved. It was
the done. Fan Village.
Yeah, fan village,
so
yeah.
I wasn't going because you got to go. If you go there, you got to have a sign with like Tim and Sid's picture on it.
So we don't expect anything other than a coronation tonight, right?
No, we expect a coronation.
Yeah.
Please.
I'd think so. But again,
I want to get into the NHL exhibition games now. Enough. Let's move on.
But there's still an entire team that is going to give their best effort to make sure this goes to Saturday night. And you know what? No one really, I don't know exactly the details, but there is a little money on the line for the guys as well, right? Mm-hmm. The finalists get a certain amount and the winners get some. So financially, there's still something on board. And I just think there's still so much pride in that European locker room that it's not going to be a cakewalk. I don't think. I think they're going to give a very, very good battle. And I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to Saturday, but I also would
be
surprised.
I'd be shocked.
Well,
okay.
And listen.
Are you just saying that because you can come back here on Monday
and
say
I told
I was
you
the
so?
One guy. I was the
I'm
one
not booked
guy.
For Monday, so I can't say that.
But listen, you know, to lots of teams, their mentality sometimes is, let's just be close and go home.
Yeah, it's not the Stanley Cup
at this level.
I you know what it is? It's training camp. This time of year, I think you're thinking more about it. There is an element of that, but I think Ralph Kruger will have this team fired up again. That's the one thing. Paul Maurice, Bradshaw, those guys aren't going to mail us in.
No, nobody's going to mail it in.
And I
think subconsciously sometimes
maybe a little bit, but I truly believe that you're going to see a solid effort from this team, Europe.
Sure.
And if they can capitalize early, I think we're going to have a good game.
I tell you what,
I hope it's a great
team. Europe steps up and surprises people tonight. And then you've got a one-game winner-take-all.
That's the electricity even more.
That's fun.
Then you've got something going on. And they were good the other night. Couldn't finish. Carey Price, best goaltender in the world.
Halak has to stand on his head
Darren,
tonight.
My problem is, on Saturday night, I've got client appreciation night at the Southwester in New London.
Well,
client
got,
appreciation. What do you call that? Customer appreciation night.
Yep.
I guess they would have a TV.
They've got TVs there.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
You got your phone, your smartphone. Yeah. You watch it on your phone.
Watch it.
I got to learn how to do that code.
Watch it.
I've got somebody to show me how to do that code.
You've got the code.
I've got the code.
All you have to do is put it in.
I know, but I'm still trying to get rid of the Uber driver thing. They want me to be an Uber driver.
Team Canada against Team Europe tonight. Canada against eight different nations as Team Europe tries to do what they've accomplished throughout this tournament and surprise people, make it inconvenient for people. Step up and make those non-believers think twice about this. And I wouldn't be shocked if something strange happened there tonight.
And I have to make a correction. Jill just informed me that it was last week was the client.
So you missed
so I missed it. So useless plug, she said.
One huge name, and we've heard it the whole tournament long, Antti Kopitar.
Oh.
He brings his A game tonight. Anything can happen.
When Gretzky likes him, I like him.
Yep.
Does Franz Nielsen have another gear?
Why didn't I draft him?
Does Leon Draisaitl have one of those great games that we've seen so far in this tournament?
They're all capable. They're all capable.
And don't count out Hossa.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. It's the championship final. Best of three. Game two between Canada and Team Europe. Our thanks to Dennis Seidenberg for joining us, as well as Chris Johnson. Hope you enjoy the program. We'll chat with you tomorrow as we head into another weekend of preseason play.